Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of Matthew, the first chapter of Matthew. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Matthew, the first chapter, we'll begin reading at verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for the Bible, God's wonderful word, for the great, wonderful privilege it is to be able to read it in this congregation this morning. And Lord, we want to thank you for this wonderful account about your son and his birth. Thank you so much for the great privilege that we know your word is true, and we have the privilege to read it and understand it and know that, Lord, that all this that took place was from you. And I want to thank you for that. And this morning, Lord, we sure need your help. We need your power and your wisdom. We just need you present in these services, manifested in a real wonderful, precious way, that you would be honored this day. Now, thank you for what you've done already and what you're going to do in these services, for we thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. Why don't you take your Bibles and turn over to Luke, the second chapter, please. This is really the text that I'm going to use, but I just wanted to read the other. I just like it, and I just wanted to read it. I'm the preacher. I guess I can do that if I want to. Amen. And so I just wanted to read that wonderful story about the Lord Jesus Christ and his wonderful birth. In Luke, it says in the first verse, And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea and unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. I'm going to bring a message this morning, which I have simply entitled, No Room. I'm sure that you've heard messages about being no room for Jesus before. That is a tragedy. It was a tragedy then, and it's a tragedy today. There's a lot of places in America where no longer is there any room for the Lord Jesus Christ. I was reminded, my wife and Pastor Jerry was talking right before services, and we was talking about, I mentioned the Mayflower Pact, which mentions Jesus Christ, and the very purpose for their coming over here was to propagate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is said that away in the Mayflower Pact. That is no longer allowed in the public schools and has not been allowed for years because it mentions the name of Jesus Christ and the purpose that they come to this country for. You mind if I give you a side note? They memorize it here in the eighth grade. Amen. You see, we're not ashamed of the Lord Jesus here. We want Him to be honored and praised and glorified in all things. But there's a lot of places that have no room for Him. And of course, it's the Lord Jesus they had no room for. He's their problem. If God wanted to, let me say to you this morning, if God wanted to, He could have prepared a palace. He could have prepared a place, the most beautiful place that's ever been built on the face of this earth, if God wanted to. That He would have been a place for His Son to be born in, if He wanted to. But He did not choose to do that. He allowed it to occur just exactly as it's recorded here in the Word of God to show the true attitude of the world toward Christ. He wanted that demonstrated. That's the attitude of the world. When Jesus Christ came, that was their attitude. They did not want Him. They did not have room for Him. And if you'll go back and look ahead, let me say, for 33 years, you'll find that that same attitude remained, because in 33 years later, He hung on a cross. The cross of Calvary is one of the most disgraceful, wicked things that has ever happened to mankind, that mankind could have ever done. It was wicked as far as they was concerned, because they took God the Son, the Savior of the world, and crucified Him. We all did, let me say that. Our sins did. Horrible thing. But to God, it was the most wonderful thing that could be, because He was going to prepare a place, prepare a way, that we might have eternal life. And it was through, of course, His Son hanging there on that cross. But the Lord Jesus Christ come to this earth, He was hated. He was despised. He was betrayed. He was denied. He was scourged. He was spit upon. He was crowned with thorns. He was given vinegar and gall to drink. He was nailed to a cross. He was mocked. He died between two thieves. He was pierced with a spear. Rejected by the priest and the scribes. The Pharisees hated Him. He was mocked by the multitudes. And all of us crucified Him. That's the Son of God. It's a wonderful Savior who came, did that for you and I. What a privilege it is to stand here this morning and proclaim His worth, His goodness. All I can say is, when I think about it, is God help us. May God forgive us, this whole world and all of its sin, for treating the Son of God the way He was treated. It's certainly not only the birth where they found no room for Him, but the cross certainly displays what man's hearts were like. First of all, we're going to look at this morning, we're going to look that Jesus knew men would hate Him. He knew that when He come. God is God and knows all things. And He knew that everyone would hate Him. And one of the reasons, of course, God being God, He knew this anyway, but God had sent prophet after prophet after prophet to this old wicked world to tell them what was right, and trying to get them on the right path, and trying to get them to do right, and telling them that there was a Savior coming. And most of the time, let me say to you, they stoned those prophets. They slew them, they killed them, and they would not listen to them. Now, I'm saying to you today, it's not any different today as it was then. Maybe they don't stone them. Maybe they don't slay them. In some parts of the world they do. But maybe here in America they don't. But let me say, in America they won't listen. They won't listen to people who are sent by God just to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, some people listen. Thank God for that. But the multitudes are not listening to the Word of God today, just like it was back then. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53, He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. He knew He would be hated. In Psalms 22, if you go back and read that wonderful psalm, in Psalm 22, it foretells and describes the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, He knew what would happen when He came. In Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, it says his visage or his appearance was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. What they did to the Lord Jesus Christ was a crime. When I say they, I ought to say we. What we done to the Lord Jesus Christ was a horrible, horrible crime. It was a terrible, terrible thing, and yet it purchased our salvation. Jesus Christ come, although knowing there would be no room for him in that room that morning, that day. We also find there's no room for him while he walked on this earth. If you'll remember over in Matthew the 8th chapter, the Bible says the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. The Bible tells us that Jesus had nowhere to lay his head. He had no earthly home to stay in. He stayed with other people. He visited other people. He did this and that, but he had no earthly home. He had nothing. In fact, the Bible tells us in John the 7th chapter, and every man went to his own house, the Bible says, but Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. You and I today will go home to a home. We'll go home to a house somewhere. My wife and I was talking the other day, what a wonderful thing it is just to have a place to go home and call home. I come home yesterday, and I don't remember what time it was I got home yesterday, but anyway, and I said, honey, it's just good to be home. It's just nice to be home. Jesus Christ did not have that here on this earth. Now, I know he grew up in a home, but only in his ministry he had nothing. He had not even a place to lay his head that could be called his, and yet he was the creator of all things. We find also in Matthew the 12th chapter that Jesus and his disciples were out in a field on the Sabbath day, and they was eating corn on the Sabbath day, and they begrudged him and his disciples of eating corn. If you remember that story, is going through it, he's eating corn and they was hungry and they began to eat of that. And he finally simply told the old Pharisees and the scribes, he said, I'm Lord of the Sabbath also, not just every other day. I'm Lord of the Sabbath. I'm Lord of everything. And yet they begrudged him of it. You know, in Nazareth, he was in Nazareth in the synagogue, and they thrust him out of the synagogue and thrust him out of the city and took him to a brow of a hill and was going to cast him over. Here he was, God Almighty, God the Son, teaching in the synagogue in Nazareth, and there he was not allowed to do it. Taken off to a hill somewhere, was going to cast him over, and they would have if they would have been allowed to. In his own home were those who had no room for him. In his own home, his brothers said of him, neither did his brothers believe on him, it was said of them. They didn't believe on him either. No matter where it was, there was no room for him. When he began his ministry, his friends said, he's beside himself. They thought he was silly for choosing 12 disciples and getting ready to go out into the ministry. He said he's just beside himself. In fact, the scripture even says they grabbed a hold of him. They took a hold of him and said, you're beside yourself. Even his friends did not have room for him. There was no room in Gadara where he healed the maniac. The maniac was healed, and what a tremendous, tremendous miracle that was. And yet the people in Gadara said, after we want him out of our coast, get him out of here, leave him alone, get him out of here, leave us alone, get him out of here. They didn't want him. There was no room for him. Let me say to you, there's been no room for Jesus Christ ever since he's come to this earth. There's no room for Jesus Christ today in most of the lives of people today. And this is one of the things I want you to be reminded of as we finish this message in a few moments. I want you to be reminded of something. If we don't open our hearts to Jesus Christ and invite him in, if we do not let him into our homes and our lives, we're no different than the innkeeper. Not one ounce. We're saying to Jesus Christ, there's no room for you in our lives, in our homes, wherever it might be, there's just no room for you. Not only that, there was no room for him in Jerusalem. If you remember, he had just said, before Abraham was, I am. And right after that, they took up stones to cast at him. Let me say to you, he was, I am. He is, I am. He is God Almighty. We find also that Herod and Pontius Pilate and the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and most of the common people and the Roman soldiers all agreed he must die. No room for him. Once again, folks, I'm saying to you, it's no different. If we don't find room for him in our lives, where it's no different than these people that said there's no room for him. Not only that, they begrudged him of anything that he had. Herod begrudged him of being king and sought to kill him. He was king. He is king. He will be king. But Herod did not want him to be king. He begrudged him of that and done everything he could to try to kill him. Nazareth would not recognize his greatness. They said, oh yes, he's the son of a carpenter. If Jesus Christ is only a son of a carpenter to you, if Jesus Christ is, let me say this to you, is only a person to you, only a great master, a great teacher to you, he's not what he truly is to you. He's just another individual. Who he is he's God the Son. Deserves all the praise and all the honor. The Pharisees begrudged him of his power. The Bible says he cast out devils, and here's what they said. He said, yes, he cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. They gave his power to Satan instead of saying, no, he's all-powerful, he's great. Not only that, they begrudged his authority. He had cleansed the temple and was teaching in the temple, and they said this, who gave thee this authority? He was teaching there in the temple, and they questioned him and said, who gave you this authority? Well, let me say, who gave it? He gave it to himself. He's God, and God the Father gave it to him, and God the Son gave it to him, God the Holy Spirit gave it to him. He had all authority because he is God. Judas Iscariot begrudged him the sweet perfume that was given to him in the alabaster box that was broken and anointing him. And he begrudged him. He said, you know, that could have been sold and given to the poor. Everything that Jesus Christ had or did on this earth, people begrudged him of it. They begrudged him of his title that was written over his cross. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, was written there. And they said, why did you write this? Why don't you say, he said he was this? But he was Jesus Christ of Nazareth, King of the Jews. He was begrudged also of the very clothes that he wore. They were stripped off of him and cast lots for them, the very clothes that Jesus Christ wore. Not only that, they begrudged him a drink of water. Instead, they give him vinegar and gall when he said, I thirst. And after he died, it was not enough. They pierced his side. Now, I know this is all scriptural. I know God intended it. The Bible says water and blood came out. But they wanted to make sure he was dead before they broke his bones, and so they pierced his side with a spear. They begrudged him of the proof of his resurrection when they paid large sums of money to soldiers to say his disciples stole his body. Men today begrudge him. They begrudge him of his miracles. They say his miracles are not truly miracles. Let us go on record. Every miracle that Jesus Christ did was a miracle of God. Amen. They begrudged him of his virgin birth, and you'll hear the story today, you'll hear the talk today, you'll hear the liberals today that say he was not born of a virgin. It was not necessary to be so, is what they say, but he is born of a virgin. Amen. Let us go on record at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We believe that. He's begrudged of his resurrection when they tell the stories and they claim that his body was stolen and all other kinds of things, that he was only resurrected spiritually. He was resurrected bodily, spiritually, every other single way he needs to be resurrected. He's resurrected. Let us go on record at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We believe that. We believe also that in the truth of his word is taken today and tried to be destroyed through many of the translations, hundreds of them. If you want to call them translations, I don't know what you would call them. But whatever it is, they're doing everything they can to destroy the Word of God. His Word is truth. The Bible is the Word of God. We use the King James Version of the Bible here. That's what we're always going to use here. We use it in every Sunday school class. We use it in preaching. We use it in every teaching situation. That's what we use. But let me say to you this, the Word of God is true. God's Word is true. Everything that God said in His book is absolutely true. Amen. If there's one thing in His book that you can come to and say, I don't know whether I believe that or not, you can do that to His whole book. But all of God's Word is absolutely true. Amen. Every single bit of it. You see, if I didn't believe in all the book, I wouldn't believe John 3:16. But I believe in John 3:16. Amen. I believe in every verse of Scripture that the Bible says. I may not understand it all. You may not understand it all. You may not have all the deep meaning of the Bible. But it's true. Everything that God said is true. And not only that, His deity. They want to begrudge Him of His deity today and call Him just simply a man. But He isn't just a man. He's God the Son. And He's the Son of God. In other words, there's no room for Jesus Christ in many of the lives of people today. First of all, there's no room for Him in government today. Government has kicked Him out. He's not allowed to be first place in government functions today. He's not allowed to guide and direct the government affairs of men today. And He should be. He's the only one ought to be doing that. He's also have no room for Him today in most of the businesses of the world today. Have no room for Jesus Christ. All of us know that He's been kicked out of the public schools. He's been removed. He's not allowed. His name is not allowed in the United Nations. But He's not allowed, and I know somebody's going to say to me, Brother Ross, I hear this all the time, I know a good Christian teacher, though, that tries to tell their students, and I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that there's Christian students or Christian teachers in the public school. I'm just simply saying to you, the whole public school system is against God. It's against God. And I'm saying to you, they've found no room. But the shame of it is, there's many families that don't have room for Jesus Christ today. I mean, they just don't allow Him in to their family. They are too busy doing everything else. They do not have time to allow Jesus Christ to be the center of their life. There's just not room for Him in their plans. And I say to you folks, Jesus Christ must be the center of your family. You want a family that does right. You want a family that loves God and walks with God, and there's a security in your family that family will go on and go on and do right and live right. You need Jesus. Without Jesus, you're not going to have it. And then let me say this also while I'm on the subject. You can say to me, well, Brother Ross, my family, you know, I go to church and I do this and I do that, but it's not doing right. Listen to me. You do it according to the Bible, it'll work. Now what's happening is it's not going according to the Bible. Do you hear me? You go according to the Bible. You do what the Bible says, and your family will work. It'll be held together. It'll go right. It'll do right. Listen to me. Wives and husbands, I just feel like I need to say this. You see, it's not so much that either your husband or your wife does everything to please you. Why don't you just learn to love your husband or your wife the way he or she is? And get on your knees and pray if there needs to be some changes. Why don't you just love them for who they are? You know what the matter with most marriages is? We're so selfish. If so-and-so would just do this, I would be a happy person. Why don't you be happy the way it is? Be happy in Jesus and be grateful for what God has given you. Amen. And if you need some changes in your family life, get on your knees and don't tell anybody else. Tell God about it. Just tell Him about it. Keep room for Jesus in everything in your life. Keep room for Jesus everywhere. In your family life, you keep Him right in the midst of your family life, and it'll be all right. You do it God's way. Go to 1 Corinthians 13th chapter, and you mind 1 Corinthians 13th chapter. You do what it says. You find out what love does and what love does not do, and you do those things or don't do those things, and love never faileth. See, the problem with marriages today is not the individuals, basically. It's they don't want to do it what God says. You do what God says, and your marriage can't fail.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, why did you get me off on that? There's just no room for Jesus in most of the families today. You do it right, and I'll guarantee you things will succeed. You do it God's way, and it will succeed. There's not also a whole lot of room in churches today for Jesus Christ. Let me say to you that multitudes of Christians this morning is not going to get up and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I'm just saying that I don't know who they are. I'm not naming it, but I know they're not. They're liberals. They don't believe in that. I want to tell you, in the church, Jesus should be magnified and honored and praised in everything that's done. Amen. We had a wonderful program this morning. The only reason it was wonderful was not because the kids were so great, they'd done a great job, but it was because we magnified the Lord. That's what's needed. That's what's great, you see, about it. Not only that, in many of our churches, there's a lot of machinery that runs the church, but no Jesus. I know and I realize that it's necessary to put machinery into a church or organization into a church, but if you leave Jesus out, you might as well forget it. Want to bring the worldly music in and every other kind of thing in. Instead of magnifying the Lord, they want to do other things and put this contemporary music in and all these kind of things. That's not going to honor God. You honor God by doing the right thing, singing the right songs, doing all of those things that are right, you see. We need to make sure that Blessed Hope Baptist Church has room for Him always, you see, in everything that's done. Not only that, even at Christmas time, there's not a whole lot of room for Jesus. Well, there's decorations, and I'm not against decorations, but it becomes the whole focus of many people's lives. You go out in the community, and again, I'm not saying I'm against it, but you go out in the community and you see people putting up lights and decorating their homes in a beautiful way that never attend the church. What are they doing it for? Where's Jesus at? Not only that, all the gifts that are given, I'm just going to go on record by saying this. You do whatever you want. You will do whatever you want. But I think we're some of the most foolish people given so many gifts at Christmas. I think we're foolish. We go in debt. People go in debt. Pay for those gifts months and months afterwards. Do you really think that honors God? Do you really think that's what Christmas is all about? That's not what Christmas is all about, folks. And all pretty soon, all of the gifts root out Jesus Christ, the greatest gift. Yes, I see the manger scenes, and let me say to you, it's okay. I'm not picking on them, but I'm saying, you know why most people, a lot of people, let me put this, a lot of people put out manger scenes? They want to keep Jesus as a baby. Yes. If they can keep Him as a baby, they're all right. They don't want Him to grow up and become the Savior and the King, the ruler of the universe. Now, you say, Brother Ross, I got a manger scene. That's all right. You just keep doing it for the right purpose, do it for the right reason. You look to His birth, but don't ever forget what He became, who He was. Never forget that, you see. We've got all there's Christmas parties going on. I mean, the world has Christmas parties. Jesus is not in it. Yes, I'm going to mention Him. You are not going to get by without hearing about that man dressed in that red suit. I went down the road yesterday, I think it was, and there was a man standing out in a red suit. He was dressed so silly, and he had white trimming all around him. He had a big old long beard, and he literally was waving at me. I stuck my nose up in the air when I kissed him. I stopped at the next place I could and called 911. 911.
And I said to them, there's a silly man dressed in a red suit. Would you go see? I don't know what that guy's going to do. He's got a bag over his shoulder. He may have a bomb in that thing. I don't know what he's going to do. Well, I think you're probably getting the sense of what I think about this man. I don't even want to repeat his name. Don't want to give him the dignity to repeat it here in this church services. He's taken the place of Jesus Christ, where there's no room for most people, but there's room for him. Oh, they'll sing the song about here comes, but forget little town of Bethlehem. They won't do much singing about silent night, away in a manger. That's what I want to sing about, because it sings about our wonderful Savior. You see, we've got time for everything else, but very little time for Jesus. We got room for everything else, but very little room for Jesus. May God help us to repent. May God help us to understand, if we have a Christmas, what it's really about. It's about Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about all this other stuff. It's about Him. We need to find room for Jesus. Let me say to you, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we're not a perfect church. Never claimed to be. We sure are working on it. We're trying to keep things straight. We're trying to see to it that we do things right that would honor God. Never claimed to be perfect here. We are working on it. We're working that direction. What I'm saying is, when we find things that are not correct, we want to get rid of it. Amen. So what I'm simply saying, we believe and honor the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. We believe and honor that He lived a sinless life. We believe and honor that He died on an old rugged cross, and that He was buried, and He rose again the third day for our justification. We believe that. And this morning, when you go from this place, it's my trust that you go away from here with the knowledge that we believe in Jesus Christ, and He's the one who ought to be honored for all things. Not any of these other things that I've mentioned this morning should receive the honor. We need room for Him. And I'm just saying to you, and I trust that it'll be true in your life and your family's life as pastor, honor Him this wonderful season. You know what? The world anymore can't even say the word Christmas. They call it holiday season. They don't even want to say Christmas anymore. You watch it. You listen to it. They never even mention Christmas. Very seldom do you even hear Christmas. I mean, that's no big deal, but Christmas? Because it's got Christ in it. You know what they do? The holiday season. You know why? Because they don't have any room for Him. But we do. Amen. And I say to you this morning, listen to me carefully. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, if I ask you today, are you 100% sure you know if you died you'd go to heaven? And the only way you can know that is because there's been a time in your life when you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You believed upon Him and you were saved. If you can't say, yes, I know I'm saved, I know I'm born again, wouldn't this be a great day to do it? Wouldn't this be a great day to put your faith and trust to Him instead of saying, I'm sorry, I don't have any room for Him? No different than the innkeeper if we keep Him out of our life. Christian, how about you? Do you live your life, even though you say you know you're saved, you live your life absolutely not allowing Him to be the one that enters into every decision of your life? That He's the one that guides and directs your life? Or are you also saying, I'm sorry, Sunday morning's the only time I've got any room for you? No, He must be in our lives every moment of every day. Amen? So I simply say to you, where are you at? Are you saved? Are you born again? If not, I've got some wonderful good news for you. You can walk this aisle this morning. You can receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We will not embarrass you. We'll rejoice with you that you decided to let Jesus Christ have room in your heart. If you're a Christian and you have a need this morning, the altar is open. It's here for that purpose. You're welcome to come and get along with God here and give Him room in your life. Let us pray. Right before I pray, I just want to ask a couple questions. Everybody bow your heads. Close your eyes. Say, Brother Ross, if I died today, I'm really not sure whether I would go to heaven or not. But I sure would like to know that. I want you to understand something. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to do anything like that. This is something between you and the Lord. You say, Brother Ross, I'm really concerned about it. I'm not sure I'm saved. But I certainly would like to know that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you just raise your hand? Everybody's got their heads bowed, eyes closed. Just raise your hand, please. Say, Brother Ross, I'm concerned. Anyone, please. Say, Brother Ross, I do know that this morning. I do know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven because there was a time in my life when I truly trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know that. Would you just raise your hand, please? Raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you so much. You can put it down. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you today for the wonderful grace of God. I do thank you for who you are and how great and wonderful you are. And thank you, Lord, that you certainly deserve all the praise and the honor and the glory, and you deserve room in every one of our lives. And I pray this morning, if there's anyone here not saved, God, this would be the day that they're born into God's family. I pray also, Father, for we as Christians, Lord, that we would not leave you out of any area of our life. And Lord, if there would be some that has been touched this morning, certainly by your word and by the Holy Spirit of God's conviction, if there's a need to come and get along with you, I pray, Lord, they just have the courage to do that. We'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.